Blog Talk Radio. Remember every once in a while to kind of put our names out there so that you know. Well, if it's not me, then it's Lydia, and if it's not Lydia, well, then it is our feature guest today, our feature speaker, actually. He is David Smith. He is a scholar. He has taught school. He's got some things for us, things to teach us. I'm not saying it's something that we don't all know, and probably you'll recognize some things. But confirmation and also, what's the other word for that? Just supporting something good that we know actually helps us, you know, continue in that path. So Lydia, did you have some other thing you wanted to say for the introduction?
Well, no, I think you said it really well. I do believe that sometimes we just need to keep it fresh in our memory. There's a lot of things we've learned along the way in this path of life. And, you know, we might just kind of forget. You know, sometimes things go along and sometimes we're on top of things and sometimes we're not. And I believe that being reminded that's why I believe people, you know, listen to uplifting things is to be reminded that things are good and take a more positive outlook. We can all fall into a negative path or a negative day. and it's our friends who pull us out.
Yeah. And our family. And that leads us to thinking about sometimes what our family can do. Today is my oldest brother, mine and David's oldest brother's birthday. His name was Carl B. Robinson, Carl Ben Robinson Jr. And he was the kind of big brother that everybody would want. Maybe David will even share some of the stories of how Carl actually showed how much he loved and protected him, because he was with Carl probably the longest. I'm the youngest, and Carl was the oldest, and David's the second born. So, but Carl left a big legacy in our lives in the way that he sort of fathered us, quote unquote, when we were away from our parents. You know, he set down the law on how, you know, the best way to behave and things like that. And we all looked up to him and admired him. So, whether you have a big brother or sister in your life, maybe you have some aunts and uncles. Maybe you've been adopted. Maybe you've been in and out of foster care. There's still, as my great-grandmother used to say, if you don't have parents, then God will make a way for you to have parents. And whether you subscribe to God or the universe or whatever, I believe that in your life, there's always going to be somebody at some generational level besides your own, whether younger or older than you, that can impart information to help empower your life, which in turn empowers the entire village, which is basically what our theme is for today, how generational legacies empower us and empower the entire village. So without that generational empowerment, people feel like they're alone, and a lot of times when they feel that way, they act like it doesn't matter what they say or do. And I've heard this, I know David has, where you and Lydia probably has too, where some elderly person will say that person, either they weren't raised right or they must not have somebody in their house or something. It's to say that there's a little bit missing as far as having that sort of familiar love or handle or something put on their life. So we're going to listen to somebody that I've looked up to. He's 6 years older than me all my life. And, yeah, we were siblings, but he was always the elder, and I respected him most of the time. Mm-hmm. Except when it came to housework.
Yeah, I'm thank you for saying that.
we'll keep that our secret. Not
yeah,
really.
Oh, definitely. Nobody needs to know that on here.
I have no shame in who I am, quite honestly. I have no shame in... And, you know, the song, our lead-in song, which is our absolute favorite, from India Ari, and she says, it depends on whether it feels good to her soul. And hopefully what you hear today is going to speak to your soul and help you feel good about your soul. And hopefully you will live your life in a way, continue or start living your life in a way that speaks to your soul in a good way so it feels good in a way that doesn't harm others. So, without too much more, I think, unless something comes up and we'll pop in here or there, we'll go ahead and pop things over onto Skating Extraordinaire Dr. Dave Smith. I say doctor. I'm talking about, what do they call you in the skating world, David?
Uncle Dave.
Uncle Dave. That's it. Sorry, I said Uncle Dave. Yeah, if you've never met him and you've never seen him, just think about all those cats that dance on their skates, all kinds of maneuvers and things like that, like you've never seen. That's what my brother does.
Wow.
So, Yeah, it is amazing to watch.
I
always sit it really well from the sidelines because I can't skate. So.
I can skate. Now, this is a new facet of your brother that I didn't know. He's a man of many talents, huh?
Oh, yes, he is. Mm-hmm. All right, doctor. I mean, not doctor, but Uncle Dave.
Uncle Dave.
You know, go ahead and rap to us.
Before I do make an attempt to speak. Brenda, you were going to make a comment about
building things up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To set the tone for everything else that we share.
Yes. There's something that I've been noticing and been noticing for many years. But just recently, there were some things that the conversations I had with my sweetie, and I realized something, and I was really thinking about it, and I've actually sort of talked about it in the past, but what it is this, I'm going to put this question out to you, are you building things up in your life, or are you tearing them down? And if you're not building them up, most likely, you're tearing them down. For instance, are you building up your spirituality? Are you building up your financial wherewithal? Are you building up the love between your relationships? So, or are you tearing them down? I'm going to try to give you a good example. I had the conversation with my sweetie, and And he was having a bad day, and I was having a bad day. And, well, I was sick. I was pretty sick. And I couldn't hear him very well. Part of that was my head was sort of out of it. And he started to get more hot on the collar because he wanted me to hear what he was saying, and he had already had a very frustrating day, and he started to get upset. And then I said, okay, I got to call you back. And when I did that and I had a moment to just really reflect, I thought, now, both of us, we look to each other to feel better, or to if there's one person we think is in our corner, it's each other, mm-hmm. out of the whole world. And I thought, how to do that when you're not feeling well? And I thought, you know, even if I'm not feeling well, if I'm helping him to feel better, he darn sure is helping me to feel better. And we went back to that as soon as I got him back on the phone, and we were both remorseful, and we thought about it, and we've still been talking about it. But I just started noticing, even I looked at my own life, and I was thinking, what are you doing in your life? Are you building up things in your life? I know I'm building positive relationships. Even with Lydia and Nina, we go through different things between us, but we still keep trying to build up in a positive way. Now, there are things we could have said and done to each other that could have teared things down. There's been weird little mishaps that mm-hmm. go on with the radio show and the technology and things like that. And yeah, sometimes even when we're stressed and we're pushed, it's real easy to just start railing because we feel like we're in a fix and we think no one else in the world understands. But I guarantee you that just because you're frustrated and upset or somebody treated you wrong today doesn't mean it ain't happened to the person you're getting ready to talk to. And if you can't figure out a way to try to help support them, like you're hoping to support yourself, to be supported yourself, then you're tearing them down. If I had turned to my sweetie and said, why don't you just blank off? Yeah, I'm the one that's sick. You need to be trying to take care of me. There's that. Just imagine if I'd have said that, where we'd probably be or not speaking today, versus my saying, sweetie, we need to try to get past that moment because we both need support right now. And so let's try to be easy on each other so we can just love each other and help each other through this really difficult moment. And we both did that. But tearing it down, he could have just said, just because you're sick doesn't mean that everybody has to slave to you. He could have said anything. Instead, he apologized for upsetting me. And I'm not saying that to say that we have a perfect relationship, because if you heard our conversations, you'd wonder if we were just a little bit off kilter. But even, like I said, your financial life. The other day, I was looking at my credit number, and it was going up. And I'm like, Brenda, see, I guess now it makes sense, the things you're doing. When you don't do or don't get or don't whatever, when you really want to. And not only that, with even here with our radio show, the things we do to try to make it better, to bring in guest speakers like David. So listen, in your relationships, when you love somebody, even when they are railing, try to find a way to give them some positive strokes in the worst moments. You could very mm-hmm. easily say, like tapping, when tapping, you say, even though I'm not feeling good today, even though I really want to clobber you in the head, I want you to understand that I understand it's a rough day and I do love you. You can even say that. Yeah. That helps dispel some of your frustration because you don't really want to clobber the person you love,
right?
Unless maybe you either don't understand the concept of love or something like that. So,
you know, Brenda?
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed the example that you gave when we were just talking before we got on the air, and that is when someone might do something nice for you, and then you're telling someone, but then you're going, but I know why he, she did it, and it's because the blah, 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 and it's negative. And even though that person hasn't heard you, I believe it has an effect. And I believe that it's a bad energy. It tears you down, even if they don't hear it. You know, in fact, if you're in a relationship and you're talking bad about your mate, well, either A, it's time to leave and let it all go, or B, watch how you're thinking about that relationship and speaking about it, because words are powerful. I know women that I have a friend, she hardly ever talks nice about her husband. So one night I just got tired of it and I said, could you please just tell me two things that are positive about your husband? Because I'd love to hear that. And it took her back for a second. But now, you know what she does? She speaks very positively about her husband to me.
Yeah. Sometimes people don't even realize they're being negative
they're
because they've
it.
Gotten into that realm of doing that same old negative thing. It's kind of like that Jewish thing, you know, such and such, but da-da-da-da. Yeah, absolutely. Lydia even just gave us a great example of ways that you can, you know, address somebody. As a matter of fact, David told me years ago, I think it was just after high school, and he was telling me about a man he knew, and, you know, our childhood was not easy, and we had a lot of negative things that happened, but there was a lot of good that was born out of our childhood. But back then,
yeah.
I guess David, he was, you know, lamenting a lot to this young man, and I'm not giving all the details, David, I'm just giving the bare bones of, or the gist of it. And he said, the way I remembered it, something like, man, Dave, you know, when are you going to give me, you know, if you got anything good to say to me? It's like,
no,
all I ever
school.
Get is the negative.
I was in high school.
Yeah, okay.
So
the gist was, it's like, think about what other people are getting, kind of like Lydia's saying, when you don't have something good to say about people all the time. You know, acknowledging a good and then you're still tearing them down, it makes that, you know, the person listening to it already has to get into a defense mode. So you have to ask yourself, when you're saying anything negative about somebody else, when all you got is something, listen, let's even just address the fact that the person, like they'll say that somebody gave the church money and they say, oh, that was drug money. Okay, I am not going to get into the ethics about that. But if somebody gave the church money to help the little children or the people who are homeless, you know what? Just take the good with it and let God sort the rest of it out.
Right.
Because whatever that person's intention is, if you look at the good and you take the good from it, that's what's going to start getting spread. You can turn that around. And that, my friends, is building it up. What are you building in your life? Ask yourself, or what are you tearing down? Even if you got a kid that you think he's handsome as all get out, but every time you turn around, seems like he won't do this, won't do that, and you just start thinking, because you start saying it all the time, he's useless. Are you tearing your son down? Maybe he never heard you say that, but you're already thinking that about him. And even if people say to you, oh, your son's so handsome, and you're like, yeah, but he doesn't do a damn thing around the house. Who's building up your son? You're not even allowing those people to take the good of his looks and think, have a good thought. Is you want to tear, you're tearing down your own son. And I guarantee you, if you're doing that, if you're tearing anyone else down around you, like Lydia said, you're tearing yourself down. Mm-hmm. And you're tearing down the whole framework of our village. So let's start talking about the building up by somebody I know is constantly striving to do that, David Smith. Hmm. Illuminate.
Okay.
Segue.
Good segue.
Good evening to the listening audience. David Smith, the younger folks in the community affectionately call me Elder Brother. Some even say Elder Griot, because it seems that most of the time, I have the east side of me pretty much effortlessly, or possibly have a word of encouragement. I just want to say briefly what Brenda was talking about. He's a venerated ancestor now, but I was an underclassman, and Greg McKinney was an upperclassman. I don't have to go into the details of my harangue. At least so I'll talk about passing, in terms of eldership and passing on. What I would like to say, moral and protocols of moral and ethical conduct, something that I had defined in the last century. And Gray finally stopped me in the hallway with empty, to just leave me alone in the spirit of God, if you will. And he finally said, Dave, he said, stop. He said, everybody here at the high school likes you. We think you're just a wonderful person for whatever said reason. He said, but every time we ask you, how was your weekend, Dave, or how are you doing, you start off in a 15-minute harangue about this family member, this parent, blah, 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 blah. He said, you mean to tell me or to tell us nothing good happened to you over the weekend? And then It was like I was frozen, my spirit was frozen in time, because it was like, wow. Wow. And then my sister Brenda knows, because of that, my cousin Lori, who I do love, that's all my daddy, Houston Smith side of the family. One of the most, years ago, a beautiful spirit of light in terms of her walk with God. But I don't know where she saw it. What we call, amongst men of color, the chessboard of, let me just say, for lack of a better term, common sense. All of a sudden, every time Cousin Lori called me, it was the same complaint that she had 6 months ago. And my frustration was, it reminded me, them 25, 30, whatever years ago, of that conversation that me and elder brother, upperclassman Greg had in the hallway at high school, of me, and didn't have nothing. All they said was, how you doing? Here looking for some good news, knowing something wonderful happened. But all I could do was, as Dr. Carolyn May said, we unconsciously found, we the public have unconsciously found out that there's rewards in woundology. So the more I cry, well, let me give you a couple of dollars to get you them six packs of cigarettes you want. Let me give you so-and-so. Here's a mom's apple pie that I made for my great-grandmother, but you take it. And so it's like, oh, okay, ooh, wow, okay. If I do this, this will happen. But anyway, that's enough on that. Getting back to the topic at hand, like we never left it. our older brother Carl, Brenda was right. I'm going back over my notes of when me, Gaetano, and Mark was speaking, and, you know, we were speaking about man's power, and a lot of that I hope to share, try to put in as much as possible. You know, I'm like an old African scholar from the East Coast. I don't want to oversaturate the audience, but I want to give you enough for you to meditate on. So like my venerated ancestor scholar, Dr. John Henry Clark, I always say, his younger community brother, Dr. Ben, who's still alive at age 91, he said back in the day, he said, Dr. Clark would say, Dr. Ben would say, God, John, you're giving the students too much. you're oversaturating them. But he said, yeah. He said, because I don't know if I'm going to see these students again. So I try to cram in 150 years of information to my students because I don't know if I'm going to see them next week. So anyway, Carl Jr., the part about him that going back from my notes, but first of all, I want to start off. My views, to the listening audience, my views are not those, per se, of the program that we're listening to. So listen to learn things that you don't know or may not have heard and basically move on. Believe one-fourth of what you now hear me share. Because I want you to do what Dr. Powers, the former black FBI agent, said. I need you to do the mistrust move. So you believe one-fourth of what you hear me share with you. And then you must go do the mistrust move, which means you need to go research the remaining three-fourths to see if I just made stuff up or what I'm talking about is relevant in terms of areas of your own personal life. Then, along with that, Deacon Wyatt would say, do the swoop move, which is S-W-O-O-P, stop waiting on other people. Because a lot of times we get hung up because we can't, I'm actually speaking to myself, looking at myself in the mirror when I said that. We've been socialized as a people in the miseducation system. That somebody's supposed to give us something. We spoke, and it's like we wait around, and like the brother Bobby Hemmings said from East Coast, he said one day we were 15, then the next day we 65, now the next week we 103. What happened to my life? Because we keep waiting. We got to stop waiting on other people. We got to do what we need to get done. But once again, as our elders before me have stated, as I was trying to share on that particular radio program with my two brother spirits, if you don't know this, you're only going to do what you know to do until somebody turns on the light bulb and says, oh, wait a minute. Oh, you know, a vegetable commercial. I could have had a V8. And say, once you know what's going on, then a person can more often than not start making some clear-cut decisions. So anyway, back to Carl Jr. When I finally got to the ninth grade, so that was my preparatory remarks. Now, Carl introduced me to spiritual astrology in my last year in high school, 1974. And he told me, I know we got ministers and deacons in our family, David, but you need to go out and research spiritual astrology for the express purpose of knowing what cosmic energy of the 12 spiritual houses of God that you were born in. I'm from the spiritual house of Capricorn. He said, this is energy that you come here with. There's some other, but we're going to stay on that for just a moment. This is cosmic energy that we come here with from our divine creator, regardless of who, what we call the name, the great I am, I am. He said, we have strengths and weaknesses, and our responsibility is to keep honing our strengths, but turn our weaknesses into strength. We are responsible. So unlike one of my family members that I always keep saying, and not just them, other folks, we've all said it in one form or fashion of this, well, you know how it is, but I can't change. And I was sharing with Brenda, we go back and forth, tennis, you know, what you call racquetball style. Not her and I disagreeing, but in terms of us sharing that discourse, when people tell me whatever their wonderful relationship with the divine is, and then spend the next 20 minutes reminding me what I was like as an underclassman back in high school in 1973, it's like you just, as Dr. Big Gregory stated, we just negated all the goodness that we just espoused. Oh, this is my wonderful relationship with the divine. Yeah, oh, man, my wife and my husband, and the car ain't acting right. And it's like, wait a minute, the great I am the source of all our abundance and our, you know, and all of a sudden, that energy can't, find us a solution, give us basically a victory in the areas of our life that we need a victory in. So when people be making these statements, that's like I shut them down. It's like, okay, I got to leave now. I don't mean to be rude, Ralph, but I got to go. I mean, you can give me some good news. You call me. Once again, going back to Carl Jr., so this is what he expounds to me. And it, ever since I've fallen up on that, I found out that my life has been better because of that conversation we had at Christmas of 1974. At our great-grandmother's house, we had met our sister-in-law, Christina, for the first time, and she was pregnant with their firstborn, our nephew, being the third. And it was like, okay, life has another wonderful angle that I can look forward to and glean from. Okay, try not to be worried. Now, Carl, he was born in the spiritual house of Leo. So you know Leo the lion? They had the pride.
Lydia.
Hello?
Lydia.
Yeah, I am a Leo.
Okay, okay. Now, I can't speak for the female, but I can speak for the male. Brent and I know, it's like, I call Carl Mr. International because he had, because the other line, the king of the pride. Now, with Carl, I could not have been born the firstborn. Carl had to be because as the other line with the pride aspect, that meant he was also protective of quote-unquote family. And so I'm not, quote-unquote, a ladies' man, but in terms of how that aspect evolved within me, I have what I call my cosmic wives. These are women that I have not slept with. These are women who were married, have a mate, whatever the deal is. But when we see each other or call each other, they don't talk to me about problems that they're having with, quote-unquote, their men. We just talk about cosmic male-female business. We talk about things that she may have questions about something. And since I'm the male, that she can ask that to and not be an argument start at home or at the hotel when they're on vacation, then I can give a perspective. And it's like, oh, okay, Cosmic husband, thank you. And talk to you later. Me and Roy, we're going to finish enjoying ourselves here in the Bahamas, blah, 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 blah. And so that's the gift in terms of Leo the lion with his pride energy protecting the family. That's what Carl has passed down to me and to the rest of us. I'm Capricorn. I'm the sea lion. So I'm always in the deepest depths of the ocean looking for wisdom. I'm always in the highest heights in the mountains looking for wisdom. As a matter of fact, we find each other. And so one of my cosmic themes is why. So when people say, you know, David Barry Smith is a walking encyclopedia, that's where that comes from because my cosmic energy, in terms of spiritual astrology, is that of the house of Capricorn. And then, of course, there's all these variations, you know. At this juncture, I don't want to spend the time. It won't be wasted time, but I want to move on to some other wonderful things. And so, I lost my thought just that quick. So in terms of Carl setting the seed of who he was when he came here from cosmically speaking, then it's like all of us, or in this case, speaking to me, I could, it has affected my life in a wonderful way, but it also meant I had more evolved energy to share with the greater community. Now, Brennan had made a comment as he began about Carl had his influence on us more so than our parents. Carl, if I were to use it as a subtopic, where are all our men at to support the goddess daughter, the goddess woman? Because no nation can rise any higher than the emotional, mental, psychological, spiritual condition of its women. If we want to know the state of an ethnic group, you automatically look at the state of the women. If they're beat down, cast upon, beat up, bruised, well, we know the rest of that story. So where are our men at? We men, being Carl was a guess, Brendan, would you call him a man's man? I don't know. But in terms of the strength that he had, it's like that got instilled in me from him, but also first impression, last impression, was that as a male, I'm responsible to stay on post to my best ability. As Mr. Raymond Richards, I affectionately called him the paper, I mean, Pops. The Central District called him affectionately the paper man because he sold the community city papers on Saturday and Sunday to the church community when they were getting out of church. And he would pass on to me at age 20. He said, son, don't, no matter how many times you fall as a man, get up and stand, brush yourself off, stand as a man. And you heard the deacons at the barbershop. The deacons at the barbershop. Okay, Brother Roland, I want you to go ahead and square your shoulders and take this whooping, your emotional whooping like a man. Now, you know you was wrong over here, so own up to this and straighten up. And so because we don't have, for a lot of various reasons, strong supportive men of old, because there are no role models of strong, anchored men, and you have a lot of males who you've gone from being bisexual, homosexual, and this is not knocking nobody's sexual preference, because that's what that is. But calling themselves or living in the lifestyle of homosexual, bisexual, homosexuality, transgender, and now, I mean transsexual, transvestite, and now transgender. Now, why did I mention that? I want to take briefly the scripture, Titus 2:1-7, the gist of this scripture out of the New Testament. Couple of books right before Revelation. It basically says that elder men are supposed to be sober-minded to teach young boys how to step into the shoes of manhood. And then it follows up and says elder women are supposed to be likewise sober-minded to teach young girls how to step into the shoes of womanhood. So we don't have any role models of strong, anchored women and men. I know scores of anchored women, but we don't have the men model, the male model like we need today. That's what it evolves.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, but okay. I just want to break in real quickly. I mean, you say that we don't have any. Do you mean that we don't have enough?
You don't have enough.
Okay.
You don't have enough. So you can look.
There's
got to
be something out there.
We can look at society and see, how can I say which way the scale is swaying more so than the other one. So for me, I take not very seriously. I know the importance of standing, what we call, our great grandfathers would say, boy, you need to stand on post. And what they were saying is, those things that make up being a sound man. And like I said, what I didn't mean, it was this. 70% of our differences as men, as the power we exude, stems from the astrological spiritual house or the cosmic house of God that we are born into. There are certain and specific cosmic basics, but our astrological house gives us our stamped specifics of how we as males experience and view our world. And so the fact that we start seeing certain telltale signs in society starts letting us know that the scales are not balanced. That's where I'm going on that. The scales are not balanced. And so Carl's influence on us, that on me, in terms of that Christmas of 1974, of understanding spiritual astrology, in terms of people skills and energy that we come here with, has really had a profound effect on the people whose lives I've touched and the people who's touched my lives. Now, okay, where do we go from here? I'm looking at my notes.
Um, Well, I know that you can speak from the heart too, because you are a very soulful person, and I think that you know where you want to go.
Man's power in terms of passing on this, helping the family from what God puts on us to stay as balanced, the human family, mind you, to stay as balanced as possible. One of the things that I've learned as I look back at, okay, here we go. Brenda said this some time. How was manhood stamped on my heart and spirit? We stayed on Lane Street, and Shirley Brenda hadn't, they was in the makings, but there were some years before the cadence was going to bring them about. So Mark might have been here, but Mark might have been gestating, but it was just basically me and Carl. It was in the winter months in the house we stayed in on Lane Street in Seattle, Washington. And the south side of the house was like the attic, huge two-story house. And the part that was the southeast side of the house, the windows were broken out and there had been a fire. So nobody, you know, it was important at that point for our parents to fix that side of the house. So it had got real cold, and that wind blowing in that window in the side of the wall that had the fire damage. Mom called up from downstairs and said, "Carl, pull out the sofa bed and bring David downstairs and where it's warmer." Carl had done that. I mean, it was one of those simple ones. All you had to do was pull the back of the couch towards you, and then it would release the springs and lay back down. Carl, we were sleeping upstairs in the cold room. He picked me up out of the bed. I'm 5 years old.
Hmm.
He carried me downstairs. The fact that a man, our big brother, you know that whole statement, rocked you in the bosom of Abraham, the humanizing effect it had on the spirit and the mind, of knowing that our big brother was carrying me downstairs, didn't drop me, didn't slip, had me bundled up in the blanket, as I could be descending downstairs to the living room. As a five-year-old little boy, I knew I was going to be all right. Whatever was going to take place in my life, I knew, as Brenda always said, in that moment, I was all right. He put me down, I guess, in one of the chairs. I looked out through sleepy eyes. He made up the couch, the Davenport, or whatever they called it, put the blankets up with the pillow, and then grabbed me, laid down, wrapped his arms around me. I knew I was what's that old, this from my Boy Scout days, he used to say, Victor Hill say, "I was snug like a bug in a rug." And it was this type of, how can I say, impact that had on my life that I've shared in various forms to others, colleagues, even older folks, and even the children, because this unfolding of us men understanding, I mean, first of all, having male role, having role models of what a man is, and that under most adverse situations that they do what they can to protect, guide and protect, guide and protect, protect and guide those around them, especially the younger ones. It's like it has an intense humanizing effect on a person's psyche, and that's knowing that you protect it no matter what. Just the thought process that you protect it no matter what. So now, having said all that, is it then? It's like I've learned that he passes on to the next four or five generations after us. And as men or as males, we're never to compromise divine integrity. and add to that, the same for us men folks, that we're not always right all the time. But that means we need to listen. You know, and sometimes that's a difficult thing to do if you have no role model. You can see the stuff that the TV shows and the madness in the news. No, my point is more important than yours, Ralph. No, really, mine is. It's like, how you saw that? Well, let's go outside and do a John Wick, Wild West John Wick style. Pull out a gun and let's go for it.
Go ahead. I just want to bring in that, you know, whether you have somebody that's in your biological family or not, there's a couple of things that you talked about that I just want to touch on a little. It's that embracing that Carl did of his baby brother. It just, you know, holding him like you are safe. And I, you know, the first thought that came to my mind is so many people don't get the benefits of that, just that nice, warm, protective embrace somewhere in their life. And, you know, and I think that from a generational point of view, when it's somebody that's older than you, it almost supports the fact that eldership is good. Like somebody that is older than me and is trying to protect me, it helps you to trust in that. And when you don't get that, certainly in a society where there's so many children in foster care and or their parents are strung out on something or they're abandoned, it's hard to trust somebody that's in that authoritative type mode. And I know I'm just a slightly off, but I'm trying to stick with this.
This is a big thing,
you know, and I know my brother's talking about how his generational legacy has been given to him, and he's passing that on down, and he's trying to, put out there, like, listen, you know, men, you know, we have a role to play in helping the next generation find their way on all kinds of levels and to feel safe and protected and to trust in their elder generations or in anybody who's in that sort of elderly status. I mean, when David and I were coming up, and I probably, Lydia as well, you know, policemen, and I'm not trying to get into the whole way policemen act, I'm not saying that they're perfect or anything like that, but elders, people who were older than us, they were given respect. There was respect. And I think that a lot of the things you're saying, David, you can look at society and you can see where it is and how things are, and you can see where there's been a breakdown. But, hugging someone. We're in a society where everything is quote-unquote politically correct or not politically correct. We have politically corrected ourselves out of even touching our own children, of speaking to our own children, of imparting our views to our own children. Everything has almost got to get sterile, or else you're going to be sued by your child, by the dog, by your husband, by the priest. I'm not trying to be, you know, funny, jokey, but it is almost comical. You know, we were coming up. It's like if we looked at our mom wrong, someone was going to have to go get a shovel and try to, you know, pick up the battered, flattened mess off the ground. Our mom, brilliant, but she didn't suffer much, including people who thought if she did something wrong to her kids that they had a right to speak. It's like, because my mom had the, you want some of this, lady? Scared the heck out of me. I thought she was going to beat the woman up in the store. And we believed our mom could do it. But it's like, these are her children. We're responsible for them. And if something goes wrong, that lady in the store, no one's going to her to say, how come your son is shoplifting? Mm-hmm. They're going to go to my mom. So my mom took that responsibility, at least to that level, where it's like, I'm in charge of what these little, you know, crumb snatchers are going to do. So I hope that everybody's sort of hearing this. You know, generational stuff involves hugging, whether you're a man, and if you have no family, if you've been dropped off at the foster care or your parents are, God help them, the kind that have actually taken you out of state and dropped you off at those states that welcome any child, listen, there's somebody out there that will hug you. And I'm not talking about some kind of sexual creepiness. Somebody, and sometimes you might even need to just say, I just need a hug, because I love how some young children are able to say that. They're mm-hmm. upset, and it's like, I want a hug. And they'll say to their dad or their mom, sometimes their friend. So if you don't have a big brother, if you haven't had that advantage where your brother would carry you down the stairs and hold you, there's still somebody else out there. I have worked with people who have claimed me as their kid and their daughter, and they would, when I would go to work, I would get the kiss on the cheek, and it was an older man, but he even told me that if something happened to my dad, he would gladly walk me down the aisle. And he would tell other people that walked into that hotel that I was his daughter. So I'm just telling you that if you don't have your generational people, go find them, you know, or allow them, or they're coming.
Okay. You know, that reminds me of something. I know a woman who had parents that were very toxic, and she had to actually, they ended up severing the relationship with her, and she was very upset about that, even though they were toxic, and she ended up taking out an ad looking for parents. She was an adult, and she had a child. She took out an ad saying she was looking for parents and grandparents for her daughter. And she found them. Some really wonderful people who stepped in as her parents and grandparents to her daughter.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Thank you, David. Sorry for that little blurb off.
This is what I can't speak a lot for our Caucasian family members because I don't know all those experiences, but I can speak for people of color around the world in that it's a cosmic gift that we were given that we can join. It's how can almost somewhat at the same time, or somebody stepped over you? Oh, I'll put it this way. I'm not saying, Brennan, you know I'm not saying this to smash your dear friend. It's like, I know you're not Michelle. and I'm not saying that to denigrate her. It's like,
yeah.
I was talking. Why did you? Golly. It's like, so I'm not over here seething on the other end of the phone. I can't wait till you get off the radio because I'll give you a piece of my mind. You know, yes. No, what I wanted to add to that in terms of man's power, the legacy of it's more than just passing it on, is staying around long enough. Because just indulge me for this minute, 2-3 minutes. When I mentioned, because we don't have enough role models, male models, I hate to say it, I'm going to have to do just a quick blurb. Racism has seen fit to do it because it knows that when you remove fathers, viable fathers and grandfathers from a community, the children, they don't know where they hear from the hole in the ground, but the part that they missed out, everybody is affected because everybody looks to, quote-unquote, black folks for the latest something, whether it's music, fashion, or whatever. All right. Coming back to this piece about being here long enough for the next generation, I just said that. And I mentioned about the male models. If male child is surrounded by women, and it's not nothing against our women folks, then they don't know nothing about masculinity, strength, power, blah, blah, blah. All they know is the feminine. And so you fall down into the bisexual, homosexual, the transgender, and all, I mean, transsexual, and then down to the transgender, because where was the role model in their life to be modeled from? And so because of that, one of the things that I understood, because Brenda, we and I, we siblings, we talked about, you know, the relationship we had with our parents coming up. My soul was at stake. And I was looking at my notes, and I knew by the time I got to junior high school, I had to have my own parents. And so what I did, I found a friend of the family. I found this out years later. Inez, with her just curvaceous chocolate chip self, she was my wife. I was her husband. She was my wife, and we were the parents of the upper class men and women. Our class, we were seventh grade. So from the seventh grade on up, we was mom and dad, because God placed on my heart, I knew that even though many of us still had two-parent families, in terms of the wisdom or the knowledge that they needed to receive, like Brendan said, I think both of you said it, just to have somebody to talk to listen to them, I could sense that need in them. And so I carried this, me and Inez, he was husband and wife all the way up to the 12th grade. And by the time I got into the 11th to 12th grade, I had moved from the status of dad but to the younger ones, I was grandpa. And so it was like I could have made money being a psychologist my own self, because I knew that it was important for all of us to have some semblance of family. You know, because so that's my play cousin, but it's like, okay, that was part of it, but it's like, no, there needed to be some eldership someplace. So it had to be in mom and pops, then it had to be grandma and grandpa and uncle and auntie. And so that's where the lady who I was dating, that was the status that she took place. That was the role model that she performed. And as I look back through the years, it helped a great many of us make it from the 7th grade to the 12th grade to graduate, because there was somebody they could always call mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, aunt, and uncle. And I mean, it was some cases where I'm getting ready to kill so-and-so. I'm going to ask, there was no guns allowed. I mean, we didn't have to worry about guns. But it was like, oh, no, I got my knife. I'm going to take this rock, and I'm going to... Like, I'll come over here, we're going to talk. And a lot of this, I'll put it this way. We don't think, as Brenda said, that people, adults, pay attention to us. By the time I got to the 11th grade, the vice principal of each grade, they pulled me into the office one day and said, Dave, we appreciate what you're doing. You know, because in terms of your influence on the upperclassmen, your class and the underclass, me and a minute. He said, because, you know, matter of fact, we should pay, I didn't say the word, but it was alluded to. I said, because the stuff that you pull others aside, because you say, okay, a son, what's going on? A cousin, what's going on? A so-and-so, what's going on? Because we all need that. And like I said, it wasn't just people of color, us children of color, it was with all this stuff. I'm sorry we couldn't get to Gary. I don't even have the last name don't need to be given who he was in love with Grace. And we weren't able to, you know, able to get to him. And I'm a feeling in my heart that Grace, when he was all in, what was it, 10th grade, that her family and her loved ones from now had helped to heal. Because how do you deal with, you break up with your first boyfriend, and then he can't let you go. He don't talk to nobody. He didn't talk to anybody. He just showed up at your house early evening, you open the door and answered. He pulls the gun out and says, "Grace, I love you," and blows his brains out.
Mm.
So these are the type of things that I've experienced, not just me, but back in the seventh grade, it ain't. Look, I thank all of you for the wonderful words of encouragement that you speak about me. I always tell the audience, I mean, you, the family, that I was a regular round-the-way boy who made a choice in his life to do his homework, his cosmic homework.
Mm-hmm.
And because I made the choice to do my cosmic homework that all of us must do in our own personal lives, God has been able to touch others. I'm 57. Thank God. Well, I'm getting on the planet at the moment. I won't say that I was always this way. I was what I say in my baby years, which is for males, age 12 to 33, and for the women, it's age 10 to 30, you know, because females are always mature faster than men. And then, which is, that's a good thing. And it was like these things here, if I had to wrap all my little stuff up on that little piece, is to say, if there are no males who understand, who've been touched by God, whether have been touched by women, profound women in their lives, or by elders in their lives, to grow up and to evolve into men of high integrity, not just for the children of whatever your ethnicity is, but for all children, like Brenda said, the mom and any piece. No, yes, and all children. Yes, Lord, all children. But I will say this for the record. Mama Lady did have that great cosmic heart, but a lot of people did know, and hopefully only a few had to find out, if she messed with anybody of her relatives, you didn't want to catch Lenny on that side of the fence. But there have been a few who tested the waters and found out, she do share her love with everybody, but whatever you do, please don't mess with this over here. I wanted to say this, and then I want to move to what Carl, the seed he set from then till now. Me being a male, understanding the joys, not the pains, not even really the struggles, of being a man. I choose that lovingly and honorably. Dr. Milana Kringer out of L.A., he said to us men folks, let us not mask any difficulty or tell no lies. He said, I wrote it down here. Hold on one second. I can't end it, but I'll just put the stopgap on that piece, because I want to talk about the Supreme Being. Because I want to share some good news with the women folks. Dr. Kringer said, let us, I hope this has been good news too. But anyway, let us mask no difficulty. Let us claim no easy victory. Let us tell no lies. Let us be resilient under stress and flexible and adaptable in change. Because your shows are still about to come. I want to say this just for the record. What blocks men of color and intersects everybody on the planet from us being able to stand up on two legs in righteousness, where we always get knocked down to knee level and on all fours, is the ugliness of racism and what I define as white male false supremacy. The reason why it's so elusive and people get hung up on it is because nobody talks about the people area, the nine areas of people activity that we get hit by. And it's really like, because of not knowing that, no matter where we turn in these nine areas, we still get knocked down again. Racism affects the whole planet in the nine areas of starting with economics, education, entertainment, politics, religion, sex, and war. And because of these nine areas, it's like you know, the Hydra thing. You cut off one head, and then two more spring up. But what helps us deal with being empowered is with this unjust difficulty. It would be extremely difficult without the elders, so always sharing the truth to their best ability. Without the supreme being, that's the melanated female. Without music and what I define as fringe rights, these are John Brown, or descendants of John Brown in terms of the mindset, who understand and who love and are thankful that they're born Caucasian. But they have made a choice that they're going to do God's will, God's thing. They refuse to accept the benefits of of so-called divine right, manifest destiny, and all that foolishness. They said, no, we have made a choice, and we are going to be sons and daughters of God to what we know to do. And we expose the wickedness when we see it, and we join. It's not about the so-called the marketing and this and that. It's like, we're going to stand for truth. That's the point. We stand for truth. They got names like the Elder Brothers, Howard Zinn, Noam Chomsky, Michael Peretti, Alex Jones, David Icke, Tim Weiss.
What are these?
These are what we call fringe rights. These are, I said, the Caucasian brothers and sisters who decided, we might be Caucasian. He said, but we stand for truth. In other words, we can't, as my brother would always share with me, we as people can't go around in hateful paranoia or in hatred. I'm going to get this group. White folks did this to me. And so says, no, everybody is not that way. And these are the ones that I can't find the I can't find really the clear statement that I'm trying to grasp at.
Are you saying these are Caucasian people that don't look at people through color?
No, they don't subscribe to all the lies that have been told about people of color.
Oh.
They stand on truth. They don't stand on...
Who are these people? Are they famous or something?
No, yeah. I mean, some are famous, but some are just regular men and women.
Okay.
I don't. Cheryl's he passed on last year. Mr. Bob, who is the second generation farmer down in Atlanta, Georgia, with his beautiful wife Chloe, had adopted our sister Cheryl as their other daughter.
Okay.
He will be considered a fringe right. He didn't say the words, but I knew what he was saying. It was like he was, Brenda, you would know this, lady, unless Brenda shared this with you. He was like our great-grandfather, but he happened to be a Caucasian brother spirit, beautiful person. And he, it's not that I'm going to walk around and call Mr. Bob a fringe right. All I'm saying is the difference between really what we call nice Caucasians. You know, they're always skinning and grinning, but they got a butcher knife behind it. So what's behind your back? Or don't worry about it. You just you stand right there. And these are the ones
that,
who said, right.
And yeah, that Cheshire smile, but they really
right,
mean you
mean,
harm.
They mean you harm.
Double-faced.
Right. And so, and Brenda always shows about empowerment. So we're not... I just mentioned racism only to say the nine areas that it affects people in. That's why it's so elusive. So it's not more if somebody called you a bad name, or they drink on you. No, it's nine areas that we get hit at, and so every day, like the elder scholars of old, whose names, I'd be here for at least 15 minutes naming old historic names of heavyweights like Ida B. Wells, Nanda Burroughs, educator, Sharcy McIntyre. I can't think of all of the poets back in the day. You're talking about the whole Harlem Renaissance group, and even before then, a hundred years ago.
But the point is, basically, it doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your race is. You know, if you know, the whole multi-generational thing, empowering the village, it's the whole village. It's the global village. It's not just your specific religion or a specific gender or a specific race. And so, Bob was, and Chloe were just like, they were grandparents to my sister. And it was a real, real, real hard thing when he passed away. But same thing for Mama Lenny. Mama Lenny did the same thing for people that she worked for, their children, that they still looked at her as their great-grandmother. They were different, different races, but it doesn't matter. And it doesn't. And I like the point you're making. It doesn't have to be. Listen, it doesn't have to be a man. A man. I mean, sometimes you'll meet a woman that who's kind of like an auntie Mame that gives you what you need. It's nice if you can get a more holistic empowerment base coming towards you, like you're saying you guys replicated your whole family regime in high school to help try to, help the younger classmen not ruin their lives over just some silly argument or misunderstanding or intense emotion. But, take what you can get is what I say, and I don't mean take it. I mean, if it's being offered to you, and it's being offered to you with absolute heart and soul, then don't cut yourself short by saying something like, that old white man doesn't care anything about me because he's white, or what the heck does some Mexican woman know about black people? Or, Japanese people don't even like Eastern Indian people. Why would he care about me? If you need something.
Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Yeah. Oh.
I was going to say, if you need something.
As I was attempting to say, mentioned trans rights. Other than these are, let me put it this way, the descendants of John Brown, in terms of we stand and I might be Caucasian, I might be white, I embrace it and I love it, but in terms of the masses who I need to, for whatever reason, to be wicked, fly slick and wicked, if you will, in these nine areas of people's activity. We're not going that way because we know there's no need for it. There's enough for everybody. God is still the source of all our supply. So what I was stating is, even though this block of racism comes up, where I was going was, but it would be difficult without our Caucasian family members who we love, who have what they said, the John Brown mentality, without who are also our elders, who stick to truth and sharing truth. Without music and without, these are all the things as, she just passed on to. Maya Angelou has said, even through all this sickness that does exist and we have to deal with it every day, it's in our face every day, but we know we have inner skills of how to deal with it, to stay empowered, so we still In spite of all the sickness and madness, we still rise. And one of the things in terms of us men that helps us rise is what I call the love of the supreme being, which is, quote, unquote, the black female or the melanated female from age 3 to 103. And I just wanted to give some brief testimony in terms of, I know where you're going, Brendan, with that, and I wanted to state is this supreme being comes here with that cosmic love for everybody. And these are some of the few testimonies of how it was played out in my experience in terms of what she gives us to remember that we are to love, that there's always a victory within the great I am, I am. That we don't have to walk around bitter. We don't have to believe a fool's lies or wickedness lies, because there's always going to be a spiritual avatar. And, yes, they do come in all forms. They come as Caucasian males and females. They come as females. They come as African males and females. They come as Aborigines. They come as South Americans. You name it. They're there. They may be there for just a moment. They might be there for maybe a whole year. And then after you receive what they need to share with you, keep a state of power. Then they move on, because they know that you're going to pay. You know, what's that, the play it forward and pass it on. They know that you learned the lesson to not be bid, to not be a victim. I'm talking down us. So they teach us so that we don't become victims, that we can be victorious. And it makes life bearable. That's not even bearable. It's not bearable. It makes life livable. It makes life joyous. It makes life interesting, where we can create, whether it's song, poetry, essays, art, architecture, you name it, dance, and song. And all that, just like, we got this. That's all you got? Please, you small time, because I know that I'm surrounded by and I'm touched by a force that is said that is divine love. It's really no human words in the English language to even describe it. That's how come it's a picture that I sent my sister several years back of a little black child. I still call her supreme being. It's a headshot. She's got her eyes closed. It's a warm, sunny day. She's got her head tilted back. She looks between the ages maybe 3 and 5, or maybe 3 and 6. And I define the picture, the look and expression on her face, is she feels so unnecessary. It was like how I felt when Carl carried me downstairs to make sure I was warm. At age 5, I feel so unnecessary, because there was nobody smoking 10 pounds of Cuban cigar smoke on me. Wasn't nobody smelling like alcohol to the 45th power. Wasn't nobody trying to beat me, and I didn't do nothing wrong. Nobody was high on drugs and put me in the skillet to cook me and thought they was cooking sausage. It's that look of, you feel so unnecessary. Because that's the term from one of Dr. Ben. If I can find another term to express that look, it's like, you ain't okay. You are surrounded by love. You are love. And you can be loving, because you feel so unnecessary, because you ain't okay.
Mm.
Everybody still there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's up Lydia's alley right there.
Yes, it definitely is. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Let's talk about. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll take a breather, because I want to talk about what the Supreme Being does when she's been sent on a cosmic mission of love. Now she helps everyone in the human family have joy and victory in your life. Supreme Being at age 3, this might have been 5 or 6 years ago, he was playing, I might have been 50 at the time, in the backyard. Former neighbors, because they long since they moved out. Her name is Charisma, but I call her Giggles, because this child has an infectious laugh. Dr. Dick Gregory, he always talks about everyone needs, in terms of things to do to help us stay in power and to walk in love and not walk around and hate any type of hateful paranoia. Even though evil's doing what it's got to do, evil's going to do what it's going to do. We just ain't got to be succumb to it. He said we have to have one good belly laugh a year. I would like to add, I think we need to have 2 good belly laughs a year. I still didn't understand it, but the Supreme Being, Giggle, she helped Uncle Dave understand that. I'm a man. This is a little child. I'm 6 feet. We playing tag. I got you. No, you hit. No, you hit. You know, summer day. And so I got tired because I had things I had to do. So I of course, being a man and being arrogant, ego. But there's a little arrogance to the ego. So I'm a man. This is a child. Okay, fine. You know, I'm, you know, all this kind, brother this and brother Smith that, fine. I'm a man in that moment, and I got you last, and I'm a run for cover. So I'm walking, and all of a sudden, walking east to my left, and all of a sudden, this heavy weight, like somebody, like a big 200-pound boulder, fell on top of my right leg. And I was trying to figure out what in the Sam Jones is going on. And I look, and this 2 foot, whatever age, I mean, height you are at age 3.
Hmm.
Look up in my face, she had her whole arms around my right leg. Her whole, I mean, tight. And I tried to move, I couldn't move. I tried to yank my leg, I couldn't move. The only way for me to have broken the grip of me yanking my right leg off out was I was going to have to rip my thighs from my torso. So I turned around, but she gave me this look. Charisma gave me this look and looked up in my eyes so tenderly on a cosmic style and said, oh, man, you ain't going nowhere because I got you. my ego, this look, I believe. I don't care what I did that moment, ladies, to free myself from this beautiful, melanated child, mama next door, beautiful person, Caucasian mother, African-American father, beautiful child, beautiful. She looked at me, and I grabbed her to break myself loose. She thought I was trying to break myself. I had things to do. And she kept looking at me with them eyes and said, oh, man, where are you going? I told you I got you. You ain't going to go nowhere unless I let you go. And so then I looked at her, started to laugh. But she has an effect. She was laughing. It's a beautiful laugh. And I couldn't help but I fell out with a hard belly roll laugh. And tears of joy fell out of my eyes. Because she kept looking at me. It's like she had, you know, it's like, Uncle Dave, I love you so much. You my cop, my community uncle. But I'm letting you know, old man, you ain't going to go nowhere until I let you go. And we sit there for the next 5 minutes. I got you. No, I got you. Just laughing and laughing and laughing. And then when she figured that I had enough of a belly roll laughing, then she let me go. And I'm walking out the gate of the backyard on my side of the house, cracking up laughing. I said, okay, God, you got me. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
You and the Supreme Being, your daughter, and let me know, okay, Dave, whatever you do, always keep some laughter about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if sometimes just think of me. Just remember, I had you. Yeah, you might be 6 feet, 250 pounds at times. I'm only 2 feet, how many inches? And I had you anchored to Mother Earth because you wasn't going nowhere unless I let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Next episode. Let's go back in time. This is, like I said, 5 years and five, whatever it was when I was, I'm 57 now, so it was back when I was 50. Let's go back, 1991. I'm on my way, 3, 9, 10-year-old females from church. We're going to get the fourth daughter, if you will. And I had my godmother's El Dorado. I'm driving, they chauffeur. We going down the road over in Bremerton to pick up the fourth daughter. So these all friends. So the one, she sat back, didn't say nothing. The other two was going, you know, asking me all kinds of, in other words, whatever they had to ask me, I had not only to entertain them, but it was engaged them in some serious conversation. So the Supreme Being of the Street and Fourth Dynasty had some conversations that were like, wow. Oh, briefly with Carl, because my theme as a Capricorn is wide, my brother Carl, he loved me, but he couldn't stand me when I got into my inquisitive mode. Because I drilled him like a drill sergeant. He finally said, look, don't ask no more questions. So I said, okay, well, I'm a child, I'm 8 years younger than you, so I got some questions. So now here I am, and engaged in this wonderful diatribe, as we like to say, with two, community daughters. All of a sudden, I hear 15 minutes before we picked up the fourth daughter, Brother Dave, we don't like you. I tell males, when a daughter of God, regardless of what her age, makes any kind of statement like that, whatever you're doing, stop it, stop and give her or them your 200% undivided attention. So I pulled the El Dorado over to the side, put it in park, turn the engine off, turn around and face all three the 9-year-olds and say, old women, as I call them, because from age 3 to age 10, and as I find it in terms of my experience, they still every returning ancestors from the other side. When they get 12, they on their own. So I call them basically old women. I said, now, what do you women want now? They said, why you don't like me? Well, how come you ain't talking to Maggie? And I'm looking at, scratching my head, like, okay, how come I'm not talking to me? I said, well, I'm on a hot seat. Cosmically, I was. I said, well, because I'm talking with you two, and Maggie hasn't said anything. I said, if Maggie was saying something to me, then I'd be talking to Maggie, too. So these three age-grace old women look at each other in agreement that, okay, we love her and brother Dave again. In other words, she's no longer on the hot seat. I said, so can we go pick up the fourth child? They said, yes. She crossed her arms, crossed her legs like a 65-year-old grandmother. I turned the car engine over again, and then all three, Maggie joined the conversation, and all three of them, these old women, the supreme being, in conversation. And it was like, it was real interesting, because it was like, y'all women folks speak, somebody has to answer. If it's male children and I'm a male, when children, teen, and young adults ask me, an adult male, a question, I have to have an answer, like the elders before me taught me. If I don't have an answer, let them know I don't have the answer to that question right now. But I'm going to do like you all. We're going to all go back to the blackboard, and the next time we meet, I should have an answer for you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're at, we have probably about 20 minutes left.
I wanted the end. I just need 5 minutes.
Okay.
The Supreme Being, the melanated female child, whether she's 3 or 103, but she needs any adult, whether it be male or female, but since I'm male, that's why I'm putting that emphasis on her, because I am male. You need to give her undivided attention. The mind, when I was at the Christian church, the African-American Christian church school, academy, when the Supreme Being in the first grade knew that I was putting my, that I stood up for the protection and the guidance of the children. Then that little girl, she was in first grade, she was the spokesperson. The Supreme Being will tell you everything you need to know about, in this case, the academy, where I could be a more effective teacher, not only to the ninth and eighth graders, but from the kindergarten group all the way up to the ninth graders. The mind of the female child, i.e. the melanated supreme being, if there are no human words in the English language to describe the mind of a woman. Dr. Clark, when he was alive, he got him on the videotape. He said, during the question and answer period, he said, are there any women that want to ask me a question or pose a question to me? Because he said, I like the way a woman's mind works when she gets the light and when the light turns on in her mind and in her heart and spirit. Dr. C. McIntyre, when she was alive, she said to the women folks, learn and be encouraged to ask questions, because she said the mind and the thoughts that God gives you, us women folks, is different than men. It ain't so much of who's superior and inferior. It's different. But the difference is, if, in fact, I'm stuck with trying to find the right human word to try to describe this. And so I'll just leave it at the mind of a female, when you get the light, it's so profound, it's like, as the elder said before, he said, God bless the melanated woman and all her descendant daughters. Ethnically speaking and culturally speaking. Maybe folks get to like that. How come Dr. Jane Small, matter of fact, Miss Small, our Irish sister here in the city of Tacoma, she called me up and said, Dave, can you please, my sister working for her PhD piece. She said, who was the name of the elder brother that made the statement? I said, well, Dr. Jane Small. She said, what is that? How does the phrase go? When we men understand who we are as men, and understand the whys of why lifting you women up to get the best air from heaven. Then, as Dr. Dick Gregory said, that everything around us gets better. To denigrate women from age 3 on up, it's what's the purpose? And we lose. We men, the whole family loses, but we men really lose. Because in the end, when payday comes, well, you know the whole thing about consequences, and we have to go before the great I am, and stand and say, well, son, what was this all about? Standing before the great I am and saying, you see, what happened was, ain't gonna quite make it. When we men understand that, we begin books like this falling to my hands to share with the whole community. Woman's Body, A Manual for Life, Lifestyles, Fitness, Emotions, Fertility, Psychology, Life Stages, Body Types, Sex, Beauty, Anatomy, Health, and Nutrition by Dr. Marion Stopford. The book will cost you $125 if you can get it. It might be even more because it's out of print. Every woman should have a copy of this because it shows all the four or five major ethnic types of women. And it's a whole teaching manual for your daughters, your granddaughters, your great-granddaughters, you name it. Seed, body parts, reproduction points, blah, 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 blah. Another profound book is Diana Steiner. It's Women Are Healers. And she makes a statement in there because at that time in her life, this is like, ooh, came out like with the mid-1990s. She says, I choose the same gender sexual lifestyle. But she says, but all the info that don't, that what I, my personal intimate lifestyle deter you from the life-giving, the life-healing information that I have for all women in my book. And I told men, you need to get a copy, if not for your lady love, but for yourself, because what she speaks about, we men need to hear. It's a very profound, a beautiful book. She mentioned the whole Reiki, rebirthing, you name it. And it's just a very profound book. So in terms of what Carl, the seeds that Carl said, and the love that the quote-unquote the supreme being has touched my life with, these are realms of information that fall into, at least while being a walking encyclopedia, these are realms of information that fall into my lap that I pass on to the rest of the family, especially the women folks. The first book of the Dark Goddess by Matoma Alicia. She has a printout. I've got the printout of her manuscript, Women Warriors in the African Diaspora. And one of the beautiful parts about Miss Alicia's that particular manuscript is that she says in history, world history, the woman was not seen as what I call a punk, B-I-T-C-H. When you see me spell out a certain curse word, because I don't believe that we really need to get on the radio and say that, but I actually say a curse word here and there. I said, like I shared with my sister yesterday, this young man went to the blackmail, went to the bank Friday. He's one of the workers, co-workers there. His, every conversation when we was outside the front door of the bank, it was curse word, this curse word, and he thought he was talking normal. Because me as a
there
adult,
are people like that.
Yeah, do it too much. And they really, as a young man said 2 summers ago, he said, I don't know what you elders get mad at me for. He said, everybody's doing it. So this is what we men, and once again, have not, as Brennan said and you just said, Lydia, beat up on young men and say, hey, wait a minute, hold it. Let me explain something to you. You give me 20 minutes of your time. That's all I need. I ain't going to tell you about you bad and you wrong. Let me explain where this is going to lead to. And then when it was laid out that way, it's, ooh, wait a minute, ooh, yeah, I can change. I can change this because I'm going to cause myself to block my future victory in these areas of my life. Oh, I have to change that now. Thank you, Elder. Nobody passed it on to us because everybody watching, you know, Vampire Diaries, Gossip Girl, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to stop. You ladies go ahead and
you got some things to add, Lydia. If anybody wanted to call in with any questions, of course, I didn't give you the number at all, 646-727-2914. I'm really bad about that. I get into the show and I forget about all that.
I forgot about it too this time. Very interesting to hear David speak about this. And, you know, I do think that there is quite a bit that we can learn from our elders. I do take exception. I was raised Catholic, and, you know, one of the commandments is honor thy father and thy mother. And it was also explained to us elders. And I think that maybe what's happened is, you know, how the pendulum will swing back and forth. And, of course, you don't want it to either side. You don't want it to respecting your elders without ever asking a question or doubting maybe what they're showing you or telling you. And you don't want to go to the other side of the pendulum disregarding anything an elder says. But I think that we've kind of gone from, in my generation, gone from being taught that we have to respect our elders no matter what. You know, if they're drunkards, if they're sexually molesting you, if they're lying to you, all of that. So we've gone from that to then we went to not paying elders their due, and which was some of the elders' fault because they were raised to me in such a way that they were
entitled.
They realized that, hey, you know, just because you've got some age doesn't mean you have any wisdom or morals or goodness in you. And so we kind of, I think a lot of that generation started raising their children kind of more loosely if there was if there was a parent involved. So they went to that side of the pendulum. And, of course, I'm an incurable optimist, and I'm hoping that we're going back to more of an even keel. You know, I don't say trust your elders and respect your elders all the time because sometimes it's not the right thing to do. But, you know, it'd be great if we raised our children in the way to listen to what people have to say. You know, they could be, like you said, you know, that three-year-old taught you more, you know, in the short time she was with you that evening about belly laughing and all that, than, you know, a lot of people can teach you. So, you know, it can be any age, but I really believe that we do have to step up, those of us that are carrying the light within us and that know that. I feel it is time for us to be involved at somehow in our community, whether it's through the schools, through the churches, you know, visiting people in the hospital. We need to become involved, and we need to start raising this village the right way.
There's a woman, I'm in agreement. She said in 1999, wherever the election was, she's back in Jersey. She said to the audience that take your children or our children to the hospital, or not so much the hospital, you know, when an elder is sick, that they know in the family, or bedridden, so the children will be there and not be feared, not so much at the death piece or somebody dying in the hospital or at home, but she said that back in 1990, and you know, this is 14 and 15 years later, in the new century, she said children don't know how to deal with elders, like you were saying. They had no skills because there's nobody. It was like, okay, this is an old person. What am I supposed to do with them? Not knowing that grandparents and great-grandparents are there for the children because mom and dad is too busy working and this, that. And that's, I mean, I'm not talking about shirking any type of responsibility. Heaven designed things in such a way that grandparents, children without any grandparents or great-grandparents, they just lost. Because there's nobody to sit and guide you through. When parents are not there and they're taking care of you know, rent, money, food, housing, shelter, clothing, blah, 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 blah. So when you're around your elders and all the wonderful stories that you learn from. So I have to say the devil knows what he's been doing by bringing this imbalance in the world. And it's like, you know, we just have to be, there's God has many things in place for us to restore balance, if you will. That's what you're talking about, lady, to restore that balance. Instead of going from one side to the pendulum to the extreme and then and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
I would like to say one thing, and that is, and then I'll be done. And that is that I so agree with you, Uncle Dave, and your wisdom. And I feel that it's just very important for all of us, anybody who listens to this, to look within themselves and think of how they can reach out. For myself, I reach out every day in my community to anybody young. And it's funny, sometimes the reaction I get is that they're kind of in awe that I'm old, but I'm like so young and goofy and have a sense of humor. And it blows their mind. And then I can impart, you know, more wisdom if time is there. But I think that my role a lot of times is to open up people that, hey, you know, even though someone has some years on me, they may be really cool and they may have something worthwhile to say. And wherever I am, I'm a mother. I've always been a mother. I have this mother energy, and I love to help and mother and love, and that's just who I am. And I do that all over. Today I went to the dry cleaners, and me and the young man at the dry cleaners had a moment, you know, had an epiphany of, you know, we were talking about the weather, and finally I was just like, you know, the weather is absolutely perfect. It's everybody else who complains about it. He thought that was hilarious, but he got it. Yeah, and I brightened his day, and of course, that in turn brightened mine. So wherever you are, you can be part of this village, and you can definitely help. And I think that it is empowering for you to find your place, your niche, so to speak. It may be in your church. It may be in a school close by. It may be to the neighbor kids. I know there was a woman in my neighborhood that every time my son was passing her house, she would say, "Hey, Patrick," and she'd give him a little baggie of cookies that she had baked. She'd freeze them. She'd bake them and freeze them, and then she'd see Patrick, and she'd give him a baggie of cookies. And a lot of the elderly people in the neighborhood, the one right next door to me, she was kind of afraid of my son and, like, you know, just kind of mean, like suspecting that he was going to ruin her fence or go on her lawn or all these silly things. But that one woman, her kindness made an impression on my son and, of course, endeared herself to me quite a lot. But so wherever you are, you can start raising this village, and I hope that we all start doing that more.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what this talk is really about. Just, you know, what it take what you can, you know, research what you've heard if you're not sure about it. It's probably a good idea to just look it up anyway. And then, you know, really look at where you can empower the village by contributing to possibly people who are younger than you, older than you. It's multi-generational, this legacy. Mm-hmm. It's not all about, you know, taking the stance that I'm here to see about the little ones and teach them how to be. Sometimes it's teaching elderly people. I mean, I know that we talk about how we've raised our parents, and I do believe in many ways we did. Because nobody comes normally with this inherent knowledge on being a quote-unquote perfect parent. And what we contribute to our parents helps them to understand, too. I hope.
No, but, I'm in agreement.
But anyway, we thank you, David, for your wonderful scholarship and taking the time. I know you prepared really long for this, and I thank you for, you know, what you have, you know, donating your time and your energy for our show.
Mm-hmm.
We are really close to towards the end of our show, and I do want to get our
I do want to get our
shows up, but that's not as important to me as our wrap up. So
can I take 2 minutes? Everything that I use, I'm touching everybody in the human family.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you mentioned about the eldership. Stuff comes to me because of the family, Brenda, that you know that we come from. That's why I said I expanded instead of my name. I'm a Smith. No, we are Jennings' sibling. I mean, we're Jennings' offspring. My generation of men, when I passed on at the beginning of this century, I said the eldership, my own family, my Caucasian family members and friends and whatnot, and I said, eldership is not one way. Like you said, Brenda, I'm an elder, and you better listen to me. I said, eldership knows no age.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I told my Jewish brother, I said, my younger brother is an elder to me. When I hear the voice of eldership speaking,
mm-hmm.
I'll say, so-and-so, go ahead and continue. I said, because I need to hear what you need to say, because eldership is rolling off you. When I shared it with the younger men, it was like they broke out in tears, because they know in their heart, like you said, Brenda and Lydia, that they was touched by God in such a way, and that they needed to express this to the older generation. But because you're younger, and then what it was, once again, the supreme being, I heard, because I used to do the show thing. Mia, she told me in the last century, she said, Dave, it's 1989. She said, God got a message for me. She said, please, God says, here it is. God don't want you to end up being the normal older person, or elder person, that because you are older than all of us, that you can't learn nothing, because, like most of our elders, you, why should I listen to you? You ain't as old as me. And the minute she told me, the hairs in my body stood all the way up. And ever since God, through her, spoke in 1989, my life has been better, and all of your lives have been touched by what God, through her, had put on. My Jewish brother, he went home to New York when I told him that. He broke out in tears. He said, he didn't break out in tears. He broke out in tears when he came back. He said, Dave, I went back. Somebody got married. My brother, my younger brother got married. And he said, what you just espoused to me, I shared with your younger brother. We grabbed each other because our relationship was rocky. He said, but when I passed it on to him, he said, we embraced, broke out of Holy Ghost tears, however you want to word it. He said, and our life had been better until brother had passed on 3 years later. So he got to pass something on the system with his younger brother and heal back in love with that information. The eldership is not one way. It goes no age. It was like, all I could do is sit back and say, God, you do things in your own time. So I'm going to shut up.
Yep. It's true.
Okay.
Well, I don't believe we're going to have time to do the meditation because I'm afraid that the woman will cut in, which will negate the benefits of that.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I think she pops in at 5 minutes, so... It wouldn't help to start that. So apologize, folks, if we didn't get a chance to do the meditation with you. Lydia, your thoughts, should we run through the shows? We might have time to do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Good idea.
Is there another wrap-up or something? I don't want anyone to feel like it just sort of blipped out, but I think we've given some wrap-ups.
Yeah, I wrapped it up.
Okay.
For me.
David, you felt like you wrapped up pretty good?
Thank you, ladies, for indulging me. You know, I'm I'm an ancient African king. I was trying to give service to my people that I'm protecting.
All right.
Okay.
That's good.
Then, part what?
I said that's good.
Yeah. It's stuff that we all need to hear. Somebody needs to hear it. Hopefully somebody will be touched by it. Let's go ahead and, folks, you know that we're all about empowerment, and that's what it's all about. It's all about empowerment. So if you have any questions or anything like that, let us know. We have our website and things like that, LNB or P2E dot com, I believe it is. You could send something to lnbp2e.com, and or possibly you could just send a letter to essenceofsuccess.network, and I'm sure that Lennis will forward it on to us. So, other than that, we're going to go ahead and tell you what shows are coming up, and to try to cut, because that lady's going to be here any second. The next show, folks, coming up, I hope that you join us. Well, tomorrow is BYO Brilliance, the Brilliance of Feng Shui. I'm going to talk about some of the things that I've been reading up on Feng Shui. It might be something for you to utilize to empower your life, to support your brilliance. That's tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Then at 7 p.m. on Wednesday Pacific Time, we have In the Studio with Lennis. She covers hot topics. It looks like, you know, the NFL is getting ready to start. So she also covers sports and many other things. Whatever comes up, that's Lennis's it's her entertainment show. So pop on in there. Again, 7 p.m. Wednesday Pacific Time. All of these shows are in Pacific Time. Let me just give you that right out of the set. The next show is on Thursday, and it's Filmcology with Brenda B., and the movie is Love, Marilyn. It is a documentary that is based on the writings of Marilyn Monroe that she wrote all the time. And she wrote about what her understandings were, what she was trying to figure out, her insecurities, her feelings. It gives you a brilliant look into this icon in American society. And one of the reasons that I chose that movie is because it helps people to understand that everything is not as you see things. And also, there are a lot of people out there who think they're better than you because of the way you look or who you are, whatever. And, well, just goes to show how wrong they are. And also I think it's supportive of you understanding just how great you are, regardless of what you think other people think you think. Ooh, let me hurry up. And at 6 p.m. on Thursday. Friday, we have Friday traffic jams. There she is. 5 p.m. on Friday, Lennis has Friday traffic jams for an hour to bring you on home with your Friday traffic. Looks like she's doing 60s classics for the rest of the month. Then that brings us to Saturday, 2 p.m.
Time to love. It's me, time to love at 2 o'clock Pacific time. Tune on in and get your Saturday dose of love.
And then we get back to, well, Sunday, Lennis has her psychic shows at 3 p.m. And every ninth caller gets a free psychic reading. That's worth $60, folks. Many people have won that. Pretty happy about that. Our manager won it last week. So you guys need to call in there because somebody, one of you could have had it. Okay. And then that brings us back to Monday, LNB Passage to Empowerment. And next Monday is the power of moving past your fears. That's a big one. So join us next Monday at 7 p.m., folks. Thank you, David, for your wonderful oratory skills. And thank you, Lydia.
Okay.
We miss you, Two Shoes. I know you're out there, and I know you're probably really upset that we did not do the meditation, but we're going to let everyone grow up and do it on their own.
Yes.
This is for you, Two Shoes, and it's over.
And I want to thank
you,
David. Thank you for your medium, and you all need to be commended. Thank you all for your medium that you share with the public.
You're welcome,
Much
David.
Love. Much
thank
love.
You.
Okay.
Love you both.
Bye, everybody.
Guys.